Welcome to Home Lab Highlights, the show that surfaces practical home lab wins and useful self-hosted tools. Let's start with a Docker CLI quirk that's been popping up again. Over on GitHub, there's this open issue about the --n file flag not handling quotes correctly. It's one of those parsing bugs that doesn't hit everyone, but when it does, it's a real head-scratcher.
Yeah, the bug report's been open for a while. The core of it is that if you have YALUs with spaces in your .env file, the Docker CLI doesn't parse them the same way Docker Compose does. So a variable that works fine in your Compose stack can fail when you pass it via the command line flag.
The discussion thread shows a few people hitting this when they're scripting deployments. One commenter pointed out the workaround is straightforward. Just use Docker Compose with the n file key in your YAML, which handles it correctly. The consensus seems to be it's a breaking change that's kept it from being fixed.
So the practical takeaway is, if you're automating and your environment variables have spaces or special characters, stick with Docker Compose for that part. It's a good little foot gun to be aware of.
Shifting to infrastructure, Nextcloud has their July maintenance updates out. They're strongly recommending updates for three specific versions: Hub 25 Autumn, 26 Winter, and 26 Spring.
Right, so if you're on version 32, that's 25 Autumn, update to 32.0.13. Version 33, which is 26 Winter, goes to 33.0.7. And the latest, version 34 for 26 Spring, the patch is 34.0.2.
These are your typical monthly patches: bug fixes, stability, and security upgrades. The team emphasizes these are designed to be quick and safe, avoiding major overhauls. They've got the full changelog on their site if you want the nitty-gritty.
Now, here's a security story that's making the rounds. A report details a case where a Hanwha security camera was found to have a GitHub admin token embedded right in its login page JavaScript. Not in the firmware, but in the client-side code anyone could download.
Yeah, the token was reportedly discovered by a researcher poking around the web interface. It was plain text, sitting there in the minified JS. The token apparently provided access to the company's GitHub organization, which is a serious exposure.
It's a stark reminder of how development artifacts can accidentally ship. This is secrets management failing at the build stage. The researcher noted the token was revoked after disclosure, but it's a cautionary tale for anyone packaging software.
If you're building anything that ships, it's a good moment to double-check your pipelines for this kind of thing. Automated scanning should catch it, but clearly it didn't here. For our main tool focus, we're looking at dvinyl, which just hit version 3.0 with a complete rewrite. This started a few months back as a self-hosted app for tracking a vinyl collection.
The community asked for more: books, games, DVDs, Lego sets, and the developer kept adding them. But as the codebase got complex, they decided to rebuild from scratch in TypeScript with a new architecture.
This rewrite unlocked some major features. First, you can now create custom item types with no code, define your own fields, icons, and layouts right in the UI. It also supports multiple independent collections on one instance.
A big one for home labbers is the new OIDC and SSO support. It hooks into Authentic, Keycloak, Authelia, and similar with auto-provisioning. They've also added digital media tracking and finally have proper documentation in a wiki.
If you want to poke around without installing, there's a read-only live demo already populated with sample collections for vinyl, Lego, and more. The repo is on GitHub under kyonew/dvinyl.
One neat operational detail: the developer includes a docker-compose.yml example that sets up a PostgreSQL database with clear instructions on volume mounts. The docs mention that while SQLite is default, they recommend PostgreSQL for any serious collection, citing performance benchmarks for larger datasets. On the community side, there's an interesting monthly projects megathread over on a Plex-focused subreddit. The moderators created it because they were getting inundated with project posts.
They set up rules. You must declare any AI use, be detailed about what you built, include links, and it has to be Plex related. They even provided a submission template.
One project shared is called Submarine, openly built with Claude. It compares your Plex library to streaming services you subscribe to via a free TMDB API key, aiming to identify what you could delete to free up space.
Another is KinoSwipe, a Flask app that adds a Tinder-like swipe interface to your Plex or Jellyfin library. The developer noted using AI for front-end HTML help, but reviewed all the code personally.
Both are open-sourced with Docker setups. The Submarine author even preempted questions, noting you can always re-add content later if streaming libraries change. It's a snapshot of how communities are trying to manage AI-assisted project sharing.
Here's a quick tip pulled from that community thread on AI coding agents. One user ran Claude Code, Codex, and Gemini CLI against the same project for a week.
Their finding was that Claude Code held context well, but could get expensive. The fix was discipline, fresh sessions per task, tight scope. For Codex, being precise up front avoided ambiguity stalls.
The bigger takeaway is that how you frame the task matters. For home lab stuff like Docker files, include a snippet of your existing style in the prompt. It helps the AI match your conventions, saving cleanup time. That's Home Lab Highlights for Friday. Until next time, happy hosting.